And folks, this segment of the show is brought to you by TaylorMade Sim, featuring the Sim Driver, designed with a new radical head shape to make the driver both fast and forgiving where you need it most on the downswing. Sim irons with an improved speed bridge and echo dampening system to deliver a distance iron with forge-like feel. And the Sim Fairway Woods with low CG to help you hit it higher, and a V-steel sole to launch it even easier out of any lie. Go get fit for Sim throughout your entire bag and experience the effect it's going to have on your entire game. Check it out online at TaylorMadeGolf.com for more information on the all-new Sim family. All right, now back with me is 2012 Senior Players Champion Joe Daly. Let me remind you about Joe's background. He's from Chestnut, Pennsylvania, which is right outside of Philadelphia. Played his college golf at Old Dominion University. He helped lead Old Dominion to a second-place finish in the 1983 Sun Belt Championship. As a senior, he won three tournaments and was named All-Sun Belt Conference. He was twice named Team MVP. He turned pro back in 1991. In 96, he finished sixth at the BC Open on what's now the Corn Ferry Tour. In 97, he won the Louisiana Open. And in 2005, he won the Wichita Open. He qualified for the Champions Tour in 2011. Recorded his first top five in a major, finishing fourth at the 2012 Senior PGA Championship. Later that year, he won the Senior Players Championship in my hometown of Pittsburgh at Fox Chapel Golf Club. He won by two strokes over Tom Lehman, by three over our good friend Olin Brown. In 2014, he finished tied for third at the Shaw Charity Classic. More recently, he finished tied for 23rd at the 2017 Senior Open Championship. And I'm very honored he is back with me again tonight here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Joe, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
With everything going on in the world right now, what's it like up there where you're at in Pennsylvania? How you dealing with all of this?
Well, I've got six wood piles. I've got enough wood for all of next year right now. And I actually ended up buying an old 96 Ford F-150 to keep me busy, to get it dialed in and taking the doors apart. And I mean, it's ridiculous. I need something to do or I go stir crazy. My wife actually said that was one of the best things I could have done, was buy this old truck and tend to it. Some of those bolts are pretty tough to get off on a 24-year-old vehicle. But we're doing well. We're hanging in there like everybody else. It's I mean, I wish I could. I saw a kiddo yesterday when I was right at the Capitol, on the stairs of the Capitol after we left. I saw a kiddo in a Titleist hat. He was all dressed up, ready to go play golf, and he had a sign that he wanted to play golf. And he plays a junior program, and you know, whatever the program was, his wife said, and his mom said, and I said, buy Ben Hogan's book, Fundamentals of Golf. It was printed back in 57. That's the book I've referenced my whole life. So she said, I will. And he was all excited just to be out and about. And it's got to be crazy for these kids, because I know one of my best friends here, his son plays on the University of Delaware team, and all their tournaments were canceled, and they finished their school online, and it's disappointing, not just in golf, but in all sports, really. And, you know, but that's what our politicians are telling us what to do. So it's very difficult for my wife and I to take, because we're not, you know, that's not how we were. You know, you take risk in life, and everything you do is a risk. Like, example, you're standing there on a par 5 and 2. You got 247 yards over the lake. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to step up and set up and rip that 3 wood, knock it on the green, or you're going to lay up over there to the right with an 8 iron and then hit sand wedge on the green. I mean, I just think they've way overblown this. And I have people in my family that are, I have three nurses that are four actually that are in, yeah, they are nurses. And my one sister-in-law, they're probably going to be cutting her back and cutting her hours back, because there's not as many people coming in. So it's kind of crazy to have the politicians say what they're saying and then imposing their will upon us on saying, oh, we got to close these businesses. You can't do this or that. Wear a bandana. You can't go play golf. And I'm really concerned about it, but I'm hoping it'll change quick because, my pro I talked to, he said that he's hoping on May 8th where they're going to open up back the golf course because nothing's going on. They've cut the greens and mowed the fairways and stuff so it doesn't get overgrown. They're tending to it, but nobody's there. The whole place is closed down.
So when they open up on May 8th, is it giving you any indication of, is it going to be social distancing and one guy to a cart and, you know, no balls go into the hole and all that sort of thing? What's golf and life going to be like on May 8th?
Well, from the guys that I've talked to that I know, like I talked to one from my friend in North Carolina. Okay, four guys drive out to play golf. They're all in the same vehicle. All their stuff's there. They show up, and then the guy's like, okay, everybody's got to take their own cart. And then I talked to my other friend in Salt Lake, outside of Salt Lake, Steve Schneider. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, we disinfected all the carts, and we keep the table outside. The shop's closed, and everybody can play and they can't touch the pin. They turn the cups upside down. And so they've done everything that they can possibly do. And the range is not open either. But it's just, they're dealing with it. And it's different. I heard my friend call me the other day. He says, oh, we're playing up here in New York. I said, oh, really? And this is Western New York or Central Western. And it's just like, wow, really? I mean, we don't have any of that here. So, and there are people from Pennsylvania actually driving up there, although it's a little bit colder, but it's different everywhere. I wish these people would get their act together so we could actually, everybody could get back to having activities. For us, we go out and take a walk in different parks and different trails here, and there's unbelievable. You could look and you could see 40 people riding their bike or running, jogging or walking or just being outside. I mean, this sitting on our duff is not good for everybody, in my opinion, and I'm ready to get back to it, and I hope they get their act together and allow us to do that.
So Joe, let's talk a little golf
okay,
a comment you just made a moment ago. You've hit a good drive on a par five. You talk about, are you going to be the guy that you got 220, 230 in? You're going to be the guy that hits the three wood to try to go on the green. You're going to be the guy that lays up with an 8-iron and then hits a wedge onto the green. So I'm assuming Yep. You're the guy that's going to pull the three wood and you're going for it. Is there a situation that you wouldn't, or is that your mindset? I'm just going to rip it and I'm going to go for the green no matter what.
Got to be within your limitations there. And if it's within your yardage and all you got to do is set up well, good posture, and make a smooth swing at it, just like you're hitting a pitching wedge. Your full pitching wedge, a stock wedge, and it doesn't matter what club, three wood, five iron, it doesn't matter. And then you just hit it solid. And then, it's one of those things where you have to decide in your own mind to say, I'm going to commit to this and then send it. I can remember doing that in Greenleaf in Florida on the one par five where, you're playing in a tournament. And of course, I know, is this within my, yep, that's within my range. Okay, boom. All I got to do is set up, hit it solid, and it'll knock it on the green, have an eagle putt. Whereas there are times when wind conditions or it is what it is, you're not feeling quite confident enough. Well, you can still make birdie. And, it's interesting. Today, I was thinking about golf and what I saw growing up, and there's no golf now. But I remember watching the IVB Golf Classic at White Marsh Valley Country Club in Lafayette Hill, PA, and I'm watching Nicholas. He's on a par five, and he had the three wood, and it's over a creek. So we're all standing there, and what does he do? He makes a swing at it. He tops it. I mean, I looked in the eyes like, oh my, we're all speechless. So like, oh my God, did we just see that? And he hit it about 25 yards, right? That's how much it rolled. So he moseys up there to his ball. He walks up there, and he talks to his caddy a little bit, and he pulls out a one or two iron. And then he rips that and he knocks it in there about 4 feet. Boom, makes birdie. I mean, I was just like, wow. and then I kept following him. And he ran a string of birdies 5 or 6 holes in a row. It was just, oh my gosh. But that's what inspired me when I was, a kid growing up. I mean, It's one thing to watch golf on TV like we all have through the years, especially being from up north and you're watching them play in Hawaii or California or Florida and it's freezing snow and whatever. I mean, and it's just one of those things though that I'm hoping that the tour makes the decision to bring it back and bring back the spectators so people can actually get up close and see what's happening. I mean, I remember seeing Tom Weisskopf make an eagle on the sixth hole there. He hit whatever shot he hit, he knocked it in a hole. Nice two. Okay. And then watching guys hit on a short par three and watching the ball spin back. I mean, that was one of the coolest things as a kid to watch. Did you see that ball come back? I mean, they're hitting a full sand wedge on the ninth hole, a little downhiller. But if you hit it over the green, you'd be on the next tee. So it was one of those things. I hope they figured out and somebody makes the sound decision to say you got to be able to bring spectators back in some way, because golf courses, there's all kinds of room and they're talking about having the Masters without spectators. And oh, that would just be, I can't see that. I mean, I mean, I'm hoping they get their act together and make the right decision. So all of us cannot just enjoy just golf, but basketball and football. It's like my buddy called me the other day. He says, you know what they did? They closed a tennis court. I said, what do you mean they closed a tennis court? You're 60 feet away or however far from the other person at least. Oh, I'm struggling with it a little bit myself and questioning the sanity of some of the decisions that are being made.
Joe, you talk about being a kid and watching the greats out playing in a tournament. Did you have an idol when you were growing up? And once you made it out on the Champions Tour, did you find yourself playing with or against some of the idols that you grew up watching?
Well, my idol growing up from just listening to my dad, he's actually in the picture there of him hitting that two iron on the 18th. He was a guy standing on the tower behind the green. And I have that photo, and it was Hogan, and I hit Hogan, and my first set of irons that I bought was a set of Ben Hogan producers, and I hit Hogan irons until I wore them out. I hit model 88s. Actually, I bought a set the one time. I asked a guy in Florida, I said, Castleberry, I said, how much you want for that set of clubs? He says, oh, nobody wants those GD clubs. I said, well, how much? And he said, He said, 75. I said, well, you're throwing that two iron, it's back over there in the barrel in the corner. He said, yeah, I'll do that. Well, that set got me on tour, and I used them on tour until I wore them out. And it was Hogan, because he had his book, and it was like that's one of the best books to read to learn the fundamentals. It was printed back in 57, and the illustrations are superb. And so it's a very, can get very technical book. But actually, I being and just sitting back with J.L. Lewis and watching the other players, the fellow competitors, and it would be John Cook, and it would be Kelkovecchia, and it would be, the list went on of the players that we're sitting there, and we were just talking about, look at his form, look at how he stays right on the spiral like Cook does, man, he stays right on the spiral, turns, pow. And just, it was amazing for me to play with these guys and learn how good you could actually get by just stepping back and actually watching from the outside in, and then having the opportunity to go out and play with them and compete against them and, just learn, how good you can personally be. And I have a lot of respect for those guys, because all the time and effort that they have put in to get to the level of proficiency. And it was amazing. Everybody had, there were some similarities, but everybody had their strengths and weaknesses. But geez, they had some fundamentals that were just unbelievable. Like the Hall of Famers that I played with and watched how good that they actually, played. But they would miss shots just like the rest of us do, too. But it was how they came back and went to the next one, and their ability to have the forward. Okay, what's next? What's my next shot? And then of course there's short games and getting up and down. I remember watching Vicente Fernandez get up and down one time. I had about a 10-footer for birdie on this hole, and I looked. I said, he's not getting excited, is what I thought. Well, what he does, he hits this little chip, but he didn't. He chipped that into the rough. He chipped it into the heavy rough, bounced it, barely got on the fringe, rolls down, lips out, and he ended about a foot. I dropped my club. I started clapping. I was like, oh, my God, that was like one of the best shots I ever saw. But just to see, I mean, I remember playing with Gary Hallberg there into Boeing out there, and he eagled the 18th hole. We started on the back nine, and then what does he do? He rips driver and hits hybrid or three wood onto the first green, makes another eagle. Eagle, eagle. I never saw eagle, eagle before. that was just impressive. I mean, I miss it. I really do. There's a lot of people here that do too, and it's not like there's snow on the ground and we can go somewhere else and play. I mean, it's, I'd like to see them step up and say, hey, come on, let's get practical about this and say, open up the golf courses, let people go play golf, and it'll be good for everybody. It'll be a win-win for everybody.
Joe, I want to get some of your memories, because when I was looking back over your career, you played out on what's now the Korn Ferry Tour, and you were out there for the majority of the early parts of the 2000s, 2000 to 2009, and then 2012, you win a senior major. So you, in a pretty short period of time, you went from being on the Korn Ferry Tour to being a major champion. Did something click? What happened? What got you over the hump?
Well, I kept playing, and then I trained with my coach, my buddy, Sam Randolph out of Fort Worth, and Jeff Jensen, who lives out in California and Baja sometimes. And they trained me, and I actually upped my training from the physical fitness standpoint and diet standpoint. And I applied myself to it. Once I made that commitment to do it, that's where you get your edge. I mean, you can think about it all you want, but you got to have the right kind of training and the right kind of information coming to you to have a basis to build on. And then once you have that, and then you are, of course, you're on the road, then you have to have the personal discipline to be able to stick to your plan on what you do. Like you learn from your chiropractor and your, you know, neuromuscular massage person, what to do to keep your body functional, whether it's your neck or your back or your shoulder, your legs, your hamstrings or whatever, because golf is actually physical, especially with all the travel in there. You're toting your stuff all around, you're in planes and, you know, you're getting dehydrated and you have to be able to manage that. And I was lucky enough to, you know, have these guys help me with that. And that's what they did. They upped my game by training me. And that's how I got my edge. Now, then it came down to the point of endurance. And then, of course, what do? We have a tendency to over practice and then over wear it out. And then you get fatigued. And there's a fine line there between how much you can practice or how much you feel like you need to practice. Some guys need to practice a lot, like Tom Kite and DJ and a couple others that really like to practice a lot. That's how they get their edge. But I mean, from a physical standpoint, then you have an imbalance in your muscles when you actually over practice. It's actually really good to actually practice using, you know, like for me, left-handed, because then you're working your opposing muscles and then you don't get fatigue and strains and tears in your muscle because you're actually more balanced, and prepared for what you have going. I mean, it's amazing to me that some of these guys have had the longevity that they've had, but they figured it out on their own. And they all work out, because that's the only way to keep, I mean, because if you don't work out, you're going to get run over. You would literally get run over by the guys that do. Like Scott McCarron, you can just look at that guy, and you can tell he works out. He trains. And, you know, there's many others that do too. And that's how they were able to, you know, maintain their endurance and maintain their edge.
When you look at your 2012 season, you got yourself in contention at the Senior PGA Championship. You shot 66-64 on the weekend. Was that the sort of the first time, you know, in a senior major that you got yourself into that position? And what was it like? Was that a moment for you that said, you know what, I can win a senior major, I can compete with these guys? Or was that already ingrained in you?
Well, no, actually, Roger Chapman won that PGA, and I'd been at qualifiers with him, and I had played with Roger. But it was one of those things that I qualified for the first event of the year, and I played just I played okay, and then I qualified for the second event, and I played well, finished 12th, 15th or something. And then that got me into the senior PGA. So, and I was going to all the qualifiers. I was playing and practicing and training, but those qualifiers are tough. You got four spots. I mean, you can go out and shoot, you know, three, four, five under, and you might not get in. And, you know, it might be that you didn't make a birdie coming in, or you made one bogey coming in, but it is what it is. You have to, but I kept training. I kept training the whole time. And then once I got to the senior PGA, I was on. I mean, I was really training. I went out to California and saw, I mean, he was out there. And then, so when I showed up, I mean, I was on my game. I was playing like I was playing in tournaments, but I was playing well, but I wasn't getting in. And so then I actually was well rested. And then when it came time for the Players Championship, I actually played a practice round with one of the interns there. And, which was great. You know, I asked him, I said, yeah, show me your golf course. And so he did. And it was great because here's this young kiddo who, you know, yeah, this is how we play on this hole. You hit it over those trees right there. You actually just step up and you suck it up and you rip driver over the trees right there and have your shot in, or you hit three wood or iron off the tee and then you'll have your long shot in. And I hit driver every day and hit the fairway. Well, actually I hit it through the fairway the last day and hit sand wedge in. That's how far I hit it. But it was one of those things that you learn to prepare, because you got to prepare for not just, you know, the competition, but the own emotion that, you know, you'll experience yourself and managing that. And that's where the training kicks in, where the training is what allows you to manage that better, so you can do what you can do the next day.
So to that end, when you're playing in the final round of the Senior Players Championship, and the names on the leaderboard are some of the greatest players of all time. I mean, Tom Lehman, our good friend Olin Brown, Mark Calcavecchia, mm-hmm. Fred Couples, Bernard Langer. From a mental side, yeah. Were you just ready to win? Did any of those names, any of those guys bother you that, wow, look at, I'm on the leaderboard with these guys?
No, I had played with them all before, and I knew them. And really, they weren't even my competition. I was my competition. My own expectations, my own, well, I guess, well, however you would put it into words. But I mean, I took them out of the equation because it was all just me against the golf course. And how I could handle it in my own mind. And I mean, that's true for all golfers, men, women, doesn't matter. I mean, how good can you be? I mean, well, just because that's the challenge of the game. And the better that you can do that, and then, you know, just have the best attitude going into the next shot. How good can you do that? Take golf out of the equation. I mean, how good can you have the best attitude on the next tee or your next shot? And then just keep doing that, and regardless, let the number be what it'll be at the end of the day, and then crunch the number at the end of the day. Make that be the standard. And then, you know, you would have done all you could have done.
Joe, just a couple more before I let you go. And I wanted to pass along a message that former producer on the Golf Channel, Keith Hirschland, who's another great friend mm-hmm. of the show, earlier today, I let him know that I put out on social media you were going to be coming on the show. And Keith wanted me to pass along his hello to you, said that
you
were one of the great guys that they enjoyed covering, that they used to refer to you as the conductor because of the way you used to wear your hat, but that you were one of their favorites when they would do a golf tournament and you were playing. Do you remember getting to know any of those guys at the Golf Channel?
I remembered them all. They all were great. I always enjoyed chatting with them and stuff. And I mean, those are the guys that don't get thanked enough, because they, you know, they're the guys who are out there in the weather and stuff and putting up with the heat and weather and rain and being on the ground with the camera. I mean, it's cool though. I mean, they've really done a lot for the game doing what they do.
So Joe, one more before I let you go, but just let everybody know, what are you up to now?
What am I up to now? Well,
yeah.
Actually, I'm giving golf instruction here. Well, I'm not right at the moment. I'm not, but I actually started my own home service company, and plus I build artificial turf practice greens and tees, and I'm getting into home water filtration. and doing repairs and stuff. I've owned houses. I know how to do electrical work and sheetrock and you name it. If I can't do it, I'll find somebody who can. But I'm into that kind of stuff. So that's why I bought this old truck, so I could fix it up and go out and have a life here where my family is.
That's awesome. Joe, how can our listeners, if they want to stay up to date with you, are you online? Are you on social media? Is there a way for our folks to keep up with the things you're doing?
I'm not on social media, but I have my own website, joedailygolf.com. And I can contact you. You can contact me there. And also, I'm missing last year. I taught the Salute Military Golf Association down there in Olney, Maryland, and the PGA Hope program up here in Harrisburg and Bensalem, too. And I'm kind of missing that because I really enjoyed those guys. I'm hoping they start that up really soon.
Well, Joe, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. It's always a pleasure getting to spend some time with you. I hope you'll do it again sometime soon.
Will do, Chris. Thank you.
Take care, Joe. Stay safe. All the best to you and your family.
Thanks, Chris. You too, buddy.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, man. That's Joe Daly, D-A-L-E-Y. Joe Daly Golf is his website. He's a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to catching up with Joe again soon.